listener production. Hi, Sasha Barber-Gatt with you for this special episode of The Briefing brought to you by Medibank. I don't know about you, but I am exhausted and it's only March. I feel like I need another holiday and I know I'm not alone. We're all buckling under the increasing pressure of rising rents, increasing interest rates, grocery and fuel prices going through the roof, not to mention global warming and wars raging in Ukraine and the Middle East. I think we all just need a little lie down. In this special episode of The Briefing, we talk about why we're feeling burnt out and what we can do about it. You'll also hear some awesome stories about ordinary people doing extraordinary things and practical ways to improve your overall well-being. Let's bring in Bension Sieber to the conversation. Hey, Bension. Look, we'll get into what you do to unwind and de-stress in a minute. But first, why are we all feeling so under the pump?
Hey, Sash. Well, you mentioned all those daily stresses in the introduction and they're genuine concerns. So a recent survey by the freelancer site Fiverr found 54% of Australians surveyed are feeling burnt out. That means more than half of those Aussie employees experienced burnout or mental health challenges due to work in the past year. And 62% of full-time workers said the exhaustion reduced their productivity. So it's a genuine phenomenon and it's impacting our capacity to work and work effectively. It costs the nation in productivity as well. I remember the so-called Great Resignation. Do you remember this in the wake of the pandemic?
Yeah.
Well, that was people returning to work and realizing that they didn't actually want to do the daily grind anymore and deciding to try and find a better work-life balance.
Yeah, it's definitely been in the spotlight since COVID. How do you do it, Bension?
Well, I like to ride my bike to and from work each day, so I enjoy the exercise aspect of the daily commute. Plus, I kind of think that I'm helping the environment a little, or at least hurting it less. I live in Melbourne, and it is a perfect bike riding city because it's mostly flat. And I try and take advantage of where I live, and I get to ride along the river each morning, which is really nice. I also go to the gym regularly, Sash. I lift weights and I really love it. I was thinking about this chat and how to explain how I relax. And I actually find lifting weights and going to the gym in general really relaxing. So it's kind of a double hit. I like to get fitter and stronger and try harder in the gym, but I'm also de-stressing at the same time.
Yeah, I think it's great to find something that works for you, even if it might sound strange to someone else. If it's helping you, then it's a great thing. There is something else you do to unwind, though, that I was surprised to learn about. Tell me about tumbling.
Yeah, well, tumbling is kind of like acrobatics. It's kind of like parts of gymnastics, doing rolls and handsprings and somersaults and flips and stuff.
Wow.
Unlike most disciplines in gymnastics, the only apparatus we use is a trampoline, but mostly it's just on floor mats.
That is very impressive. I'm like you 10 times more knowing that you regularly roll around on the floor to de-stress.
10 times more?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm sure having to learn moves that could, I guess, potentially be dangerous, you need a certain amount of mental discipline as well. And I'm sure that's something that's great for clearing the mind of stresses too, is focusing on something else that your body can do.
Absolutely. And because it's kind of this vigorous, sort of difficult exercise, you can't really focus on anything else. So it's kind of almost an analogy to meditating, in my view. But Sasha, how do you relax?
Well, I don't tumble, but I do love to walk my dog, whose name is Crumpet. He's three. He's a puggly. He's the light of my life. But I found that having the reason to get out of the house after work. We start very early in the morning. Being able to get home and change into my activewear and go to the park and like be in the fresh air and talk to other dog owners, be in the outdoors. It's exercise for me and it's exercise for Crumpet. I actively don't listen to anything when I'm walking with Crumpet and I actually talk to him, and it sounds bizarre, but it's actually just a really nice way. Sometimes I'm like, Crumpet, I had such a bad day at work. And sometimes I'm like, I had a great day at work. And I tell him all about it. He doesn't care, but it feels good to me. I love it.
That's wonderful. I also just want to say that I like you 10 times more now that I know that your dog is called Crumpet. I'm sure it's also just a de-stressor to own a dog, right?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, Men's Line Australia says there are at least 5 benefits to owning a pet. One being it's good for your mental health. It's good for your overall health. That's the walking factor. There are social benefits too. I talked before about, you know, meeting other dog parents and chatting to them every day. Pet ownership also encourages self-care. Having a pet can make us feel needed, and that's really important as well. Mm. And the last one, which, like I said, I do, is talking to your pet. It's actually good for your mental health. I'm not just doing something crazy. It is genuinely beneficial. And this is why I chose the Men's Line data. Men find it easier in lots of instances to talk to their dogs, and it actually helps them open up to their families and friends. So owning a pet is definitely a good step towards less stress and burnout. And I've heard, Bension, it's not just me who loves a little pooch time to unwind.
Yeah, so I'm not sure whether you've heard about this one, but the San Francisco 49ers NFL team soothed their nerves before the Super Bowl qualifier against the Detroit Lions by receiving a visit from puppies from the local Humane Society. So the 49ers adopted 2 French bulldogs named Rookie and Zoe back in 2018. That made them the first NFL team to foster emotional support animals. And that means they can enjoy a cuddle with the puppies in the lead up to the big game. And apparently it worked. They won through to the Super Bowl for the first time since 2020. The only downside was that they ended up losing to the Kansas City Chiefs in what was one of the most exciting Super Bowls in history.
Worth it for puppy cuddles, I reckon. We were talking off air as well about relaxing, and you were telling me that you actually find it really hard to relax.
Yeah, I think before I started my sort of professional life as a journalist, I had ways of relaxing that I don't really have access to now. For example, I used to read lots, and because I spend my whole working day working with words and taking in information and outputting information as words, I find reading more words when I get home at night just not as relaxing as I used to. It's a bit of a shame in a way. But I guess that's part of the challenge of finding that work-life balance. And lawmakers are actually trying to do something about it.
Yeah, so the federal government recognised it is a problem with people being able to switch off outside of work hours. And they introduced legislation early in February to give workers what's called the right to disconnect after hours from their bosses. And it was proposed by the Greens, and it earned the support of the government and key crossbenchers Jackie Lambie and David Pocock. They fought for additional amendments, which included simplifying the process to convert a casual employee and lifting the threshold for when a gig worker was considered employee-like.
Staff are now guaranteed the right to ignore out-of-hours calls and emails without getting a penalty from their employer.
Bension, I also mentioned in the introduction people doing extraordinary things with their bodies, which I think can be a bit of a feel-good story. Look, my favourite sports story of the year so far, and I think it will be up there for my sports story of the year, is Tori Lewis. Remember her name. She is just 19. And last month, she recorded the fastest 100 metres sprint of any Australian woman in history.
Oh my God. The record
had been in place for nearly a decade, and she was well clear of the under-20 record set by the great Raelene Boyle back in 1968. That was 56 years ago. Tori clocked in 11.10 seconds, beating the previous record of 11.11 held by Melissa Breen. I think we're going to be seeing a lot of her coming up.
Absolutely. And I love that as Tori crossed the finish line, people were running up to her and screaming, and she was thinking, wow, they're really excited for me. And then she looked at the clock and she was just blown away. And that's the fastest 100 metres any Australian woman has ever run, and she's only 19. Oh, and by the way, another detail, she does this all while living with celiac disease. So she has to manage her diet really strictly and has to make sure that she eats the right foods and stays at peak health to compete at that elite level. Tori says she's focused on the Paris Olympics in July, but she hasn't yet qualified for the 100. She'll be there in the relays, though. So we'll be watching that young Queenslander in Paris later in the year.
Yeah, and while Tori might not be described as ordinary, there's no doubt her achievements are extraordinary.
I love the story of Len Spence from Mildura. He's far from ordinary as well, but he's not a dedicated athlete like Tori, or maybe you might say that he is. Len plays tennis every week with his group of friends, and he is nearly 102 years old.
Wow.
His mates say that he's still competitive, but Len says it's more about the social aspect of the game. He just loves getting together with the group to have a hit. And the combined ages of this group, get this, is over 350 years. So we love your work, Len.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, before we go, I also mentioned in the intro we'd be talking about practical ways to improve well-being. Well, a new study has found structured dance of any genre is equal to or better than other physical activity for improving a whole range of psychological and cognitive outcomes. I love this. Researchers from around the world, including some from Australia, found a structured dance program of at least 6 weeks can be an effective alternative to standard exercise like running or going to the gym and other sports. So I think the idea that lifting weights and running is the only way to, you know, better yourself mentally and physically is really outdated now. We know that you can do it in so many different ways.
Yeah, so you sign up to a local dance class and before you know it, your boogieing is improving a range of psychological and cognitive outcomes, including emotional well-being, lower depression, motivation, social cognition, and some aspects of memory. And what's not to love about all that? And the researchers said that it applied to all dancers of all ages.
I think we should probably mention diet as well. Bension, we talked about Tori earlier and her having to manage diet from her celiac disease. Are you mindful of what you eat to ease stress and reduce burnout?
Yeah, it's often tempting when I'm feeling not so great to eat bad food, but I know in the long run it's better if I eat better food. I think it's a no-brainer, really. If you eat really bad foods for the weekend, you feel really bad. And we've heard from Sydney nutritionist Susie Burrell, who says that focusing on eating fresh, unprocessed foods like fruits, vegetables, red meats, and food rich in omega-3 is the best place to start when combating burnout. And she told the Daily Mail that quick fixes like coffee, alcohol, and sugar could be doing more harm than good, and said to instead opt for fresh foods like tuna and salad or red meat and vegetables.
The other thing I wanted to bring up is this thing called Niksen, which the Dutch do. That's N-I-K-S-E-N. Basically what it is you do nothing and it's entirely valid. No one's questioning you. No one's wondering what you're doing. And yeah, the practice is essentially just doing nothing and being and existing, which I think is pretty cool. I reckon we could learn a thing or two from the Dutch. Look, so eat well, exercise, get as much sleep as you can, be like the Dutch and talk to your pets.
We've got it. If you're looking for a little bit more information and inspiration, the team at Medibank have developed an app called Better Minds. Whether you're unsure of what you're feeling or looking out for a family member, or you simply need to hear another voice, they advise, guide, and support you through your mental health journey. So there's 5 key areas of help that you can get through this app. Using your cover to support your mental health, finding support that's right for you, supporting your loved ones, staying healthy, and understanding mental health conditions.
And there's even a helpline. Members with hospital cover can talk with a mental health professional over the phone 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on 1-800-644-325.
We all know that burnout and taking care of our mental health is a critical issue for all of us. And if we support each other, it's a much easier goal to reach.
Yeah, absolutely, Bension. Thanks so much for talking us through all of those amazing ways that we can treat our bodies a little bit better. And thank you to listening to this special episode of The Briefing. I'm Sasha Barbagat.
And I'm Bension Siebert. Have a good one.
Listener.